God had to put me in a place where I needed to realize that I had fallen. He had to back me up into a corner so I can see that the love was no longer there. And I remember one time that a prophetess came up to us and she called us both to the front. She called us to the front and you know, I already know how God works, amen? Not fully. My ways are not his ways. But I was like, oh, here we go. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen? And I came up and she came up and I remember her very clearly. I remember the Lord telling me too, listen. Because sometimes we already come to God with a closed mind. We already come to God with a closed heart. So anything that God has to say, I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord. And then God's ready to respond and you're gone. Lord, give me this, give me this, give me this. And God says, but, and you're already done asking. Communication does not work that way. You speak, and you listen. Amen. I remember God told me, listen. And she told us this. She said that we are going to be one again. Right that, at that very moment. But Lord, God said, listen. But God, how? Listen. He wasn't done. I remember breaking. Oh, man. Because not only did I fall out of love with her, but I fell out of love with God. That was my first sin. Was falling out of step with God. God had to bring me to a place that I needed to remember. Now, some of us have heard that scripture, right? Remember the wife of your youth. Amen. I couldn't. And sometimes we even talk about it. Sometimes we're like, man, it's crazy. We were done with each other. We're done. But it's easy to go through the motions. It's easy to just go through the motions. Amen. The I love yous. You're beautiful. Whatever you need, babe. Whatever you need, love. But the hearts were not there anymore. Our work was there. We would do anything for each other. We just could not get, we could just not jump. I believe that before God does anything, we need to be in tune with Him. How do we know love? What is love? Can't see it. You can't. And I don't know if you guys know, but there's actually, in the Bible, there's four different types of love. And that's another message. I wish I could get into the details, but we'll be here until tomorrow. But the true unconditional love that God has, we don't understand it. It is not in our minds to understand agape love. we can't. We go through our whole lives, and I speak for myself. I went through my whole life seeking approval. Seeking approval from my parents. Seeking approval from the crowd that I was hanging out with. As I got into ministry, I would seek approval of pastors. Seeking approval at my workplace. Because we fall under this misconception that we have to do certain things to get love. We got to go through a certain process to get there. And what's crazy is that God doesn't require that. His grace is sufficient. He already loves us. To me, that is like, that's amazing. Lord, how? Why? Why? How could you love me that much? It's not possible. But to me, because I'm trying to understand it with my human mind. It's not possible. Lord, I haven't even done anything for you. It's okay. Nobody else has. Come. I could not understand that. And if you're here and you say, oh, I fully understand God's love, you need to help me. Because I don't get it. Isn't that amazing? Lord, man, I could just show up and you already love me? He goes, you don't even have to show up. I already love you. You mean I don't have to, you know, I don't have to do this in your kingdom? I would love it if you did, but that's not the reason why I love you. Lord, as many times as I have fallen from you, sinned against you, cursed you, doubted you, God's like, yeah. Come on. It just boggles my mind. That right there, that I don't even want to call it misunderstanding, but that thing right there, that's what God wants. Love me. Love me for me. Not because of what I've given you or what I'm gonna give you. Love me. Have I not called you? Yeah, but Lord, just love me. Sometimes we fall for the misconception that we need to be in a certain place, in a certain spot, at a certain level to receive that. And we don't. We want to worship God from a position. And that's not what God requires. You know, we've all read or heard the story of David and Bathsheba, right? And I've heard that scripture so many times in so many messages. Many ministers say that the reason why David sinned was because he was not at war. The Bible says that it was a season of when the kings were at war. So where should have David been? At war. But he was in the comfort of his palace. And I've heard that scripture used so many times that the reason why he fell was because he was not where he should have been. Amen. Amen. I agree with that. What I don't agree is, what now? You're at a fallen state. What now? What now? The Bible goes on to say that Nathan the prophet spoke into his life and he repented. Let's turn. Let me go ahead and take you there. I believe it's in Psalms 51. It reads like this. Psalms 51. And again, I'm reading from the Message version. I'm going to read the whole thing because we've got to keep in mind that this is a prayer of David after he had fallen with Bathsheba, after the prophet Nathan came and spoke into his life and told him what God, what God was going to do. Amen. I want us to listen with that open heart. The fact that he fell, I don't want us to just read it and, amen. Let's read between the lines of what King David was really saying. Amen. Starts off like this. Generous in love, God, give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt, soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down. You're the one I violated, and you've seen it all, seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you, and whatever you decide about me is fair. Let me stop right there. Whatever you decide about me is fair. Now, if we go back to the book of 2 Samuel, of what God actually said, the judgment and the consequence that King David was going to deal with, he says, your child is going to die. Let's think about that for a minute. David could have came up with every excuse, but Lord, you know, I'm human, I'm a man, I'm this, I'm that, and God. But what he said was, whatever you decide for me is fair. Lord, whatever you decide for me is fair. Because David understood one thing, that the sin was not the fact that he fell with Bathsheba. The sin was the fact that he drew away from God. Let's keep reading. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time. In the wrong since before I was born. What you're after is truth from the inside out. Enter me then, conceive a new true life. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. Tune me in a foot tapping songs. Set these once broken bones to dancing. Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash or fail to breathe holiness in me. Bring me back from gray exile. Put a fresh wind in my sails. Give me a job teaching rebels your ways so that the lost can find their way home. Commute my death sentence, God, my salvation, God. And I will sing anthems to your life-giving ways. Unbutton my lips, dear God. How let loose with your praise. Going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart-shattered lives ready for love don't for a moment escape God's notice. Make Zion the place you delight in. Repair Jerusalem's broken down walls. Then you'll get real worship from us. Acts of worship, small and large, including the bulls, they can heave on your altar. There's no doubt that David regretted his sin. But what was greater than that was the fact that he wanted to be reconciled with God. Lord, reconcile me with you. Bring me back to that place. Sometimes we just love God because of what he's going to do. Not because what he pulled us out of. We tend to serve God or love God from a position. Thank you, Jesus. See, King David, he was a soldier. He was a king. He was a conqueror. Amen. He knew that. That's who he was at that very moment. But I could just imagine when he fell, when he sinned against God, and he killed Bathsheba's husband, he needed to go back to when he was in the fields with the sheep, with his harp, with his guitar, with his keyboard, with his own hands, with his own voice. He needed to go back to that place. God, I have fallen from here. Let me go back. Let me remember where I was. Not so that my past can get glorified, my God, but so that you can be worshipped for what you have done in my life. Not for what you're gonna do. But I worship you enough because of the fact that you took me out of where I was. I was miserable. I was lost. We need to remember. We need to return. We need to restore. We need to remember. We need to return. And we need to restore. You can't restore something that never existed. Amen. You know, I have an 81 Chevy short bed, amen, in my truck. It's been sitting in my garage for about, I don't know, 2.5 years, 3 years maybe, 2.5 probably. And I'm trying to get to it to restore it, amen. I'm trying. But if that truck never existed, what could I restore? Can't restore anything that has not been. You can't. The whole point of restoration is to go back to where you were. Then some. Amen. Let me know if I'm losing you, because then there's something wrong with me. It's not possible. it's not. And I believe David was there at a point in his life where he was like, man, Lord, it's all about you. You have called me to be king and man, but Lord, not even that compares to your presence. Not even that justifies, man, with just the joy that you give me. In one of the verses, it says, restore to me the joy of salvation. Restore to me. What happened to it? King David, what happened to it? Give it back to me, Lord. Give me back that joy. I want it back. Forget the fact that I'm king, my palace. King David even asked to the point that you can take everything from me, but just do not take your spirit. He had to go back to that. Let's think about King David. Where was he at before he became king? In the fields with sheep. And I don't know if y'all been around some sheep, but they don't smell like roses. And there was no Nikes back then. So it was all chanclas or, you know, sandals. And when the prophet Samuel came to Jesse and his sons, he says, no, it's not none of these. There's one more. You have no other sons? I was like, yeah, well, there's another one. But, you know, I mean, he's with the sheep. Bring him here. Bring him here. Because what we do not understand, what the world doesn't understand, and us, we are included in that, is that we don't understand that God looks at the heart. What are you doing with what you have? Do we have a relationship? Or do you love me because of where I'm going to put you in? Where I'm going to take you, what I'm going to give you. Why do you worship me? Amen. Jesus told Peter, who do the people say that I am? What did Peter say? Some say, you're the prophet Elijah. Some people say, you're the Messiah. And Jesus said, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? See the difference? We cannot restore anything that has not been. We need to go back to our first love. And again, I say it humbly. We do it not to remember our past, for it to haunt us. It's like, it's going to a grave. That's where the old me died. That's where he's still at. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20. Thank you, Jesus. Does anybody have it? Amen.
The next time your child asks you, what do these requirements and regulations and rules that God, our God, has commanded mean? Tell your child, we you were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and God powerfully intervened and got us out of that country. We stood there and watched as God delivered miracle signs, great wonders, and evil visitations on Egypt, on Pharaoh and his household. He pulled us out of there so he could bring us here and give us the land he so solemnly promised to our ancestors. That's why God commanded us to follow all these rules, so that we would live reverently before God, our God,
Amen.
As he gives us this good life, keeping us alive for a long time to come.
Amen. Why do we remember? Because the next time your child asks you, what are these requirements or regulations and rules that God has commanded mean? What? Why? Because we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. Not to remember Egypt, but to remember that we were slaves. That's why it's important to remember your first love. Man, I remember when I first got saved, man. You couldn't shut me up. You couldn't. Right, babe? You couldn't. I was so happy. I was like, whoo, man, it's just something going on today. Amen. The next day, whoo, there's just some in the air today. Month later, whoo, it's still something in the air today. Could have been what I smoked a month ago. Can I be real? But there was a joy in me. Oh man. Lord, and man, I just love you. No, nothing had come to me yet. Nobody had spoken to my life yet. Nobody had said, you're going to do this. You're going to preach. You're going to teach. You're going to evangelize. You're going to reach people. Nobody had told me that yet. But God already had me there. That joy. Lord, man, I don't want to keep this in. Amen. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to tell people. All my friends thought I was crazy. But it's funny because they didn't think I was crazy before. All of a sudden, I'm crazy. Amen. I was so happy when God saved me. Man, I didn't have to live. I didn't have to live paranoid anymore. I didn't have to worry about nothing anymore because God got me, right? God got me. But then things started happening. Started seeing things. Started getting tired. My arms were getting heavier. Praise the Lord. Worship is just not there anymore. Your praise is just not there anymore. Lord, what's going on? Why do I not care anymore if the lost are lost? What happened? You get tired. And you know what? It's okay. Because where we are weak, amen, he is strong. Amen. We need to go back to that. We need to go back. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why do we worship God? Why are we in this? It's not to just meet on Sundays and hallelujah and praise the Lord's in here. Because we got it. We just need to restore it. But out there, they don't understand it. And what happens is we don't understand the world anymore. Then we don't understand God or His unconditional love. So we're suspended in the air with our own precepts, with our own understanding, assuming this is the way it should be. But we gotta get close to God right here. Over there? You wanna go over there? I'm gonna go over there. You're crazy. You're gonna. Why them, Lord? This is now. I'm speaking my heart here. This is my understanding. Those are the people that I came out of. God says, that's why I'm sending you back. We were meeting with Pastor Marty yesterday, and I told him, Pastor Marty, there's just nothing normal about me. Right? He started laughing. I said, there's... He was like, good. Amen. But God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. Gotta go back to that. We can't get involved in what happens when we fall out of love with God is we make the world our enemy. Not understanding that is the working ground that God has called us to work. With all the politics that are going on right now in this nation, how many Christians are acting out there that Jesus is not on the throne anymore? God never stepped down. Doesn't matter who's in position. And you know what's even crazier? Now, this is me just thinking, is that if the Bible speaks of certain things that have to happen, why would we come against it? God is still in control. Could have been anybody. God is still in control. And I've seen so many Christians make the world the enemy because of it. Then who are you reaching? Where are you going? Because we have fallen out. I fell out. I'm a true believer that God gives me this first. God had to put me in a position where it's like, you're not doing this anymore. Well, Lord, I can't. It's not because you can't. It's because you fell out of love with me. I know that y'all see me quiet. Things have, you know, happened in our past. It's easy to blame God. So easy. And when you blame God, you fall away from God. But the very thing that disqualifies you is the very thing that qualifies you. I remember God telling me that. The very thing that disqualified you from my presence is the whole very reason that it qualifies you to be in my presence. God has a way of not of things that do not make sense, make sense. Amen. You gotta be last to be first. What? Hey. God is a good God. He deserves our worship alone just because He is God. Because He is who He is. Because of He took me out of the streets. Because He is God. That worship that is like, Lord, man, it's me and you. I remember when I met my wife, it was like, man, I didn't have no gas sometimes. Oh, come on. Amen. Hey, I want to see you, but amen. Let me call my brother. Maybe he has some gas money. Amen. We'd stay up hours. Oh, man, I remember, you know, I'm not going to get into detail, man, but I remember we would stay up hours sometimes, man. This is for her. I remember, I love Mike and Patricia, my spiritual kids. And I remember when he first started dating, man, I saw the love. Man, Mike, bro. I said, you can see her tomorrow. No. It's good. I'll be good. I can talk about them because they're my kids, amen. But I saw the love in them. The love that they had for each other. And I remember I told Mike one time, don't lose it. I didn't say because maybe, or I said, don't lose it. Because it's so easy to lose it. So easy to lose it. The love for each other. The love for God, especially the love for God. Worship at its truest form. Sometimes I love to worship God. And you know what, Lord? I'm not even going to ask for nothing. I'm not asking you for anything today. Just hold me because I'm tired. Suspend me in your presence, my God. Just because you are God. You make everything possible. I'm not, yes, that's going on, yes, but Lord, man, help me to put that, I'm not even going to pray for that right now. Just let me be in your presence. Just let me be here. Let me listen. Let me be still. There's a form of worship called presuneo in Greek. And that means to kiss. That's that type of worship. But there's another worship that, okay, what I'm saying is this, it's possible to worship without being close to God. But when you presuneo, which is to kiss somebody on the cheek, you got to be close to them. Amen? Because we can worship from over here. Lord, I love you. We got to be so close to God that we can just reach over and kiss Him on the cheek. And what happens is when you misstep, you lose track of where God is going, and you're out of place. You're out of love. Church, I'm not speaking a suggestion. I'm speaking of experience. It has not happened to me once, twice. It happened to me a couple of times. And I had to find myself in that fallen state and say, Lord, put me back there. Give me that joy of salvation again. Give me that worship the way I used to worship you, my God, the way I used just loved you. Stand, amen. I know it was a little different today. need to return to that first love. It's crucial. It's crucial. Because all the hard work that we do and are capable of doing, next level after next level after next level, begins with His love. Begins with that. Out of that, everything else branches out. Parents, the love for your children, that's going to branch out. Young people, the love for other young people, the love for others is going to branch out. But it needs to be rooted in God's love. The love that Jesus had in His time, and I don't want to say in His time, I want to say in His physical time. The time that Jesus, He spent it loving out there. Out there. The world doesn't understand God's love. We need to spend it out there. Am I saying grab a bullhorn and go hit somebody over the head with it? No. I'm not saying that. But if they come into the church and they see no love anyway, man, they might as well stay out there. It's God's love that's going to bring them in. Is it hard? Yes. Man, it's hard being a Christian. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh man, everything is peaches and cream. It's not. I'm not one of those pastors that it's like, oh, hallelujah, everything is good. There's days that I wake up with a bad Jesus day. Amen. There's days. Lord, it's not about me anymore. It's not about me anymore. But Lord, let your love resound in me. Lord, let your love just flow through me, my God. Let it be a peace, my God, within me. Settle my spirit. Settle it. Help me to go back to where I was. Where I remembered you for what you did. Remove that judgmental spirit in me. Remove it. Pluck it out. Help me to remember where I was and who am I to begin to place anything on anybody. My responsibility, Lord, is to show your love. This morning, I really want to challenge you. Get back to that place. Get back to that place. Let God stir it up. Let God stir it up. Man, you're going to see God move. Things are going to come into play that you didn't even expect. Because it's not us. It's God's love. Let it resonate in you. When you walk the streets, when you visit with your family, let the love just, man, there is no possible way somebody could have that much love. There's no way. There is no way. You mean I don't have to give you anything? No, you do not. Let it resonate. Let it stir. I believe something is coming in the church in general where a true worship is going to begin to form. I've heard Pastor Marty speak it. The Lord uses him to speak it. And I asked one time, it was a Thursday, and I said, Lord, you know what? What is this new thing? That, come on. Amen. What is this new thing that Pastor Marty keeps speaking about? What is it? Amen. I'm telling you, I'm not normal. I said, Lord, you need to show me what it is. God showed me a people that were going to rise up. A people that were going to rise up, that were going to love God because He is God. A people that were going to serve God, serve people, not for hidden agendas, not for their own purposes, but because He is God. God is on the move. But it's going to start with us. We need to get back to that place. We need to get back to that place. Where people are not going to wonder anymore if this is real. They're going to know there's something about those people. God's going to do His own work in this ministry itself. But I'm telling you, a generation is going to rise up where they're going to see God. They're going to move by His voice. They're going to move by His direction. And it's no longer going to be what people expect. No longer. There is going to be movement of God that's going to move in the streets, because that's where the gospel needs to go. That's where His love needs to be found. And how is the world going to find it if it's not out there already? Those people, we need to be included in those people. Where we worship God in spirit and in truth. When Jesus met with the woman at the well, she said, "Will you worship God over there? We worship God over here." Amen. What she was doing, she was holding God to a certain geographical area. Where no longer do people have to come in here to feel God. But they're just going to feel Him already, because we are going to take His presence out there. It starts with us. Fall back in love with God. Fall back in it. Just dive. Just dive. And watch God's love just swallow you. There's no better place to be. No better place to be. This morning, if you feel you're at that place, and I know, I'm not the only one that found myself there. I know. I want you to come up. Let's just be real and say, "Lord, maybe it's me, maybe it's not, but I don't even want to risk if it is." I want you to come up. Come up. This is what I want to do. Let's be still in our worship. Let's be still. Listen. I know it's hard to do. I know it's hard to do. But let's not ask. If anything, the first thing is, "Lord, don't take Your Spirit from me. Don't take it from me." Because if I have problems now, I can imagine when your love is gone. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, my God, right now for your presence to begin to stir up our first love. Remind us, my God. Remind us of why. Remind us of when. I thank you, my God, that you spoke through it. The fact that I was high, my God, you still spoke through it. When I was drunk, my God, you still spoke through it. Through the midst of my pride, my God, you still spoke to me. At my backslidden state, my God, you still spoke. I pray, my God, right now for stirring of your presence. A stirring of your presence, my God. Begin, Father God, right now to move. Father God, obstacles in the way. Begin to remove, my God, those hindrances, my God. Father, in the name of Jesus. My sister, it's time.